Good to see you this morning. We have a beautiful day, and we're here. We're getting closer and closer each day to our reward. And as we've been singing today, this world is not my home. We are just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. So we're glad to sing that song and to keep our minds on the target. Our target, our goal, is not to live on this earth forever, but to live with the Lord forever in heaven. We're studying this summer through the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation is a great and powerful book. Today we want to get a panoramic view of the book of Revelation, which I believe will be a lesson that will help us all to understand what that book is about and what all this is about. What is all this about? What's going on here? Well, let's turn to the book of Revelation. Let's begin in chapter 6. And today our lesson is going to be the battle of the ages. The battle of the ages. What is the book of Revelation about? It's about the battle of the ages. What is the Bible about? It's about a battle. It's about the battle of the ages. And you and I are a part of it. Notice in Revelation 6 verse 1, "And I saw, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering." What does that sound like to you? "He went forth conquering and to conquer." That sounds like a war to me, doesn't it to you? Verse 3. "And when it opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword." That sounds like a conflict to me, doesn't it to you? The book of Revelation is about the battle of the ages. That's what it's about. We hope that this lesson today will not only help us to better understand the Bible, the book of Revelation, and the message of the book of Revelation, but this message today will help us to understand this whole thing that's going on in our world today. It's about a war. Notice Revelation 9 and verse 9. We're going to just read some verses out of the book of Revelation here this morning. Notice Revelation 9 and 9, "And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots and many horses running to battle." There's the word battle. We read about a sword and people being killed, and now we read about a battle. The book of Revelation is about a battle. It's about a war. It's about the battle of the ages. And there's real cruelty going on in this war. Notice Revelation chapter 11, verses 7 and 8. "When they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of that great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified." Even the Lord died in this battle, didn't he? There's a great battle going on. That's what the book of Revelation is about. Notice Revelation 11 and verse 12. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, "Come up hither." And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. They ran to battle. There were chariots. There were breastplates. People were being slain. There's enemies in this battle. Now, let's go look at Revelation 12, beginning in verse number 9. "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now is salvation That's what we're here for, isn't it? And strength. And the kingdom of our God. We're in the kingdom of God now. This battle involves Satan. It involves the Lord. It involves the church, the kingdom of God. And then it says, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. We don't love our lives unto death. We're willing to give our lives up for the Lord. And so these are tremendous words which describe to us what's going on. There's war. There's war in the spiritual realm. There's war here on the earth. We're in a spiritual warfare. And people really do die. Our Lord Jesus Christ died. Verse 11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. We need the blood of the Lamb, don't we? We needed Christ. Now notice verse 17. And the dragon, that's the devil. We've already been told that's who he was wroth. That means he was angry with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Who is that? Which keep the commandments of God. That's us. And have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And so our enemy is Satan. He's angry. He's making war with the people who have decided to follow Christ. And we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb. Now look at Revelation chapter 13 and verse 4. And they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast. Now there are some people who are on the devil's side. They're worshiping the dragon. They're worshiping the devil. They're on his side, which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? Notice, this is about a war. And there are those who line up with the devil. Who was killing the Christians? Well, it was the Roman government. It was Jewish people. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And when he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. So this is a mighty battle. This is the battle of the ages. This battle involves God. It involves Jesus Christ. It involves the angels. It involves the devil. It involves the church of Jesus Christ. And so we need to understand what's going on here. This is a mighty battle. Verse 10 of chapter 13. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Saints were really being killed back then. This is a war. People were dying. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. There are two forces. There are the forces of righteousness, those who line up with Christ, and those are forces of evil who line up with the devil. And those forces of evil that line up with the devil, they are governmental forces. Rome was against the church. Nero, Domitian, those men were very opposed to Christianity. And so we need to realize that. Look at verse 13. And he that doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven and on the earth in the sight of men. And so we have a great conflict going on. Now, one of the key passages in all of this book is found in Revelation 17. Mark this in your Bible as one of the key verses in this book. And I hope you'll remember it later when you read this book, the book of Revelation. You'll remember this is a key verse in this book. Revelation 17 and 14. These shall make war with the Lamb. What is the book of Revelation about? It's about a war. It's about a spiritual war. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. That's why we want to be on the side of Christ. Because the Lamb is going to overcome his enemies. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. We've been called by the gospel. We are chosen by God, and we want to be faithful. Yes, this book is about a war. We need to have a panoramic view of the book of Revelation and really our world. There are things going on beyond our vision. We pray to God. Do you think God's doing something beyond our vision? Yes. The devil is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter chapter 5. Do you believe he's operating and working? Yes. We're involved in a warfare that involves heaven. It involves the devil of hell. It involves the church of our Lord. That's what this book, the whole book of the Bible is about. Is about this war. Now let's go to chapter 18. And it says in verse number 1, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." Of course, that's the city of Rome. And there's a war. And that city would lose. It happened to many cities. Many cities in the Bible lost the war with God. We're going to read about some of them today. Rome couldn't win the war with God. New York can't win the war with God. You can't win against God. Many cities in the Bible fell because God destroyed them. And Rome was one of them. Babylon was one of them. The great city of Nineveh fell because God had it destroyed. God's going to win. That's what this book is about. This book is about a war, and God's going to win the war. Look at chapter 19. "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand." God's going to win. God's going to have his way ultimately. "And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever." And so God's going to win in the end. Notice also here in chapter 19, beginning in verse 11, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and the righteous, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire." That's always intrigued me, those eyes looking down, "or as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood." That's Jesus. "And his name is called the Word of God." That's Christ. That's Jesus Christ. "And the armies which were in heaven followed him." The armies in heaven followed him. "Upon white horses, clothed in fine linen and white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he shall tread, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." Christ is a great warrior. He's the Lion out of the tribe of Judah. "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great." He's going to conquer all. All kings, all captains, all men, bond and free, God's going to rule. "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against Him. Our world is against God. Get Him out of the school. Get Him out of the government. Get His word out. And so they're against Him. And He says, against Him that sat on the horse and against His army. And the beast was taken, and with Him the false prophet that wrought miracles before Him, with which He deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped His image. These both were cast alive in the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of Him that sat upon the horse, and the sword proceeded out of His mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. This is a conflict, a great conflict. It's been going on since the beginning of time. Let's go back to the book of Genesis chapter 3. When Satan deceived the woman, and the man and the woman sinned against God, God laid down the gauntlet right there against the devil. Look at Genesis 3 and 15. This is God talking, and this is God talking to Satan. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head. It'll crush you. It'll crush your head. And thou shalt bruise his heel. That's the war. The war started. The war got kicked off. God is fighting against an evil force, the devil. This war has been going on. It involves God. It involves the prophets. It involved the apostles. It involves the church. It involved the children of Israel. We're fighting against Satan, against his host. Satan has cities. He had the city of Rome that was fighting against the church. And it's going on. And it has been going on from the very beginning. You know, Satan thought he was winning over here in Genesis 6. When in verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Satan had built up a great force in the world. All of the world was wicked and sinful. And God says, you're not going to win this battle. I am. And he destroyed the world. He destroyed every one of Satan's people upon the earth. This is a war. The wage of sin is death. And this is what's going on in our world. And so this is happening over and over and over again. Look at Genesis 19. Satan took over the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Satan thought he was winning there. Notice what God did here in Genesis 19 in verse 24. The Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. God's going to win. God overthrew those cities. He burned those cities up. This is a war. And this is a battle between God and Satan and good and evil, and we are a part of it. I won't turn to 1 Samuel 17, but you can go there and read that. You can read 1 Samuel chapter 17, 1 Samuel 17, and it's the battle of David and Goliath. It's epic. It's an epic battle. Read it for yourself. There was a valley. Israel was on one side, Philistines on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And the Philistines had a challenger, a champion, a giant named Goliath. And he came down day after day, morning and evening, for 40 days, and challenged Israel to send a man down here to fight me. If I conquer you, you'll be my slaves. But if you conquer me, we'll be your slaves. That's an epic battle. That's the battle of the universe. That's the battle of heaven and earth. The challenger, a giant. And guess who comes down? Of the tribe of Judah. A man chosen of God, or a boy chosen by God. A man after his own heart, named David. Well, he's not going to win. He's a little boy. And remember Genesis 3 and 15. I'll crush your head. I'm crushing your head, devil. Devil sends his challenger down there. Epic battle. David picks up five smooth stones. And with one of them, where does he hit him? He crushed his head. He crushed his head of the tribe of Judah, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Christ is of the lineage of David, a young boy. And what did the Philistines do when the giant fell? They fled. They fled, and the Israelites conquered them that day. There's a war going on. It's been going on from the beginning of time. And it involves cities, it involves nations, it involves people, it involves the church, it involves prophets and apostles and Christians like you and me. God's fighting against the devil. Notice in Job chapter 1, the battle is found here. This is the battle. In Job chapter 1, you remember Job was a righteous man. He was a good man. He was a God-fearing man. And notice what the devil says concerning him to God. In verse 6 of chapter 1, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. It's going on up there. This is a battle of the ages. This is a war. And Satan is a part of this. And God's a part of this. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and it turns away from evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? You know the account. And so Job was smitten. His herds were taken away. By the way, we don't say much about his servants, but I know he loved his servants. He was a good man. People loved their servants. His servants were destroyed. His cattle were taken away. His servants were destroyed. His children were destroyed. All in one day. It's a battle. It's a battle and it's a war. And you can't suffer more than Job. And then he came back in chapter 2 and he took his health away from him. It was a challenge. It was a battle. Job won. Job won by his wonderful faith. And so we're talking about a battle. It's been raging from the beginning of time. That's what the book of Revelation is about. It's about a war. It's about a conflict. You and I are in it. And it kept on going. Satan met Jesus face to face there in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. No wonder, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. No wonder the Bible says this. By the way, we're not talking about everything that the Bible says about this war, not by a long shot, but we do want to make these points along the way here. In Ephesians 6, look at this, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For, what's this? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Things are going on. In heaven, things are going on here, and we need to be aware of those things. It's a great battle. You and I are in it. And the Bible is telling us to get yourself ready for the battle. Get your Bibles out. Study your Bibles. Let's turn over here a little further to Jude chapter, to the book of Jude. And look at this. We're passing over so many other things. We won't have time to cover all this today, but look at Jude, verse 6. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. This is a matter that involves heaven. It involves the angels of heaven. And there were angels in heaven that did not keep their first estate, and they were cast down. Now look at Jude, verse 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Isn't that amazing to read in our Bibles that this is a tremendous battle that involves heaven, it involves the angels, it involves heaven and earth. And we're to put on the whole armor of God. And we're to be victors, we're to be conquerors. Romans chapter 8 says we're more than conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. Be a victor. Put on the whole armor of God. Don't be a casualty. Don't be one of those who fall out and lose the battle. Be a part of God's forces. Be a part of, we were studying this morning where in 2 Timothy chapter 2 it says, endure hardness with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Why would he call us soldiers? Because we are in an epic war and we cannot afford to lose this war. Jesus would say in Matthew 10, you're either for me or you're against me. Let's be all together for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not a Christian here today, you need to be one. You need to join yourself with Christ and be one of his faithful and loyal servants. I don't know everything that's going on in the spiritual realm, but we know there's activity going on there. God is active. Christ is active. The angels are active. We've read it in our Bibles. We're involved in this war. We may be killed. Our government may kill us. You know, there are forces in our world today that will kill you. They're called Muslims. They're called terrorists. They're called Islamics. They do not like Christians. There are forces in this world that would bring us to death, have brought what they think. You've heard it on the news. They have executed who they think are Christians. If they think they're a Christian, they'll cut their head off. They've already done that. And so we need to be faithful. And that's why the book of Revelation says in Revelation 2 and 10, be faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. Death? Do we have to die? Well, we may have to. We may have to serve the Lord in that way. And so it's an epic war. I want to be on the winning side. I want to win, and I know you do too. And so let's realize what's going on in this old world that we're living in and beyond our vision that we can see. There's something big going on. You know, I didn't live during World War II, but I know during World War II, America said, we're going to do all that we can to win this war. Well, your sons are going to have to go to war. Well, they'll go. We'll pay the price. Yeah, but you'll have to work 16 hours a day in a ship factory making ship. We'll do that. Whatever we have to do, you'll have to travel far. You'll have to go over into dangerous places. America said, we'll do that. We'll do whatever it costs to save our nation. Now, we need to have that mentality as Christians. We're going to stand for the truth. No matter what, we want to go to heaven. We're coming to the... By the way, we didn't read that passage in Revelation 20, but there's coming a great judgment day. When the devil and all of his forces will be cast, anyone who's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Bible says, will be cast into an eternal lake of fire. We're headed toward that. Let's win the battle. Let's get faithful. Let's be true. If you're not faithful, come and be restored to the church today. Be a part of the victorious army that God has designed. And let's realize who we are. We're a part of something that's important. People are not going to hear the gospel unless we bring it to them. They're not going to hear it in a denominational church. They're not going to hear it at school. They're not going to hear the truth of the Bible anywhere but from those who are the pillar and the ground of the truth. It's important. It's necessary and it's essential. I know, I'm sure you see every bit of that today as we've been looking at God's Word. God destroyed cities. God destroyed nations. God's going to win. He's going to win the battle. Let's be on his side and make no hesitation about it. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2 says, now is the day of salvation. Now. Let's be sure that we're saved today. And if you've never been baptized, let us help you. Let us help you to be immersed in the waters of baptism for the remission of your sins. Win that battle first of all. win the battle of becoming a Christian and denying the world and repenting of your sins and confessing Christ before others, just as everyone in the Bible did. They did that to be saved, to become baptized into Christ, Galatians 3 and 27. And if you haven't been fighting for the Lord, let's pull together. We're a unit here. Let's pull together. We're here to help one another. We're not our enemies. The world and the wickedness of this world and Satan, he's our enemy. We're not enemies here. We want to strengthen one another and encourage one another to get to heaven. If you need to come, won't you do so as we stand and sing?